Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for, once again, this place that you've given us to come into, out of the heat maybe today and next couple days, but we just thank you for the opportunity to have cooling temperatures inside. And so we thank you for all that you've provided, the rains that you've given us, everything that you've provided for the farmers and the people who grow crops and the lawns and everything that has been so watered this summer. So we thank you for all that. But now we thank you, Lord, for this time that you've given us to set aside to continue to grow in our knowledge and understanding of your word, even to go back a little bit into the original language, into the Hebrew. So I continue to ask for your guidance of your Holy Spirit to lead me and guide me to a greater picture of what you have put before us, particularly in Psalm 119, to help us to see what it tells us in the meaning of your original language, the Hebrew. And so we thank you for that language, and we just ask for a blessing upon our time here together this day, and that what we share can be meaningful, and give us a desire to want to study more your word, whether we do it in strictly our English language or we look elsewhere for the original languages where we see even greater pictures of your understanding of your word. So guide us this day, Lord, and we just thank you ahead of time for what you're going to show us. And we thank you not only for our time of study this morning, but we thank you ahead of time for our time of worship. And we just pray for the people who will come into this place this day. I pray that they will grow in their understanding of your word and be excited about what you are doing and what we see happening, even in our time today. In this day we're in, and see and look forward to the return of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I pray in His name, amen. Okay, so you should have page 7 and 8 in front of you, and hopefully 9 and 10 if we get to that. We'll do the first three, the pay, then the sade on the page 8, and then the quaff, those three. And I think they all have, those three words, or three phrases that we're studying, all seem to have a word in that original language that describes something that God wants us to see in each one of these. Now, the pay we know is best described as a picture of the mouth. As we've gone through the different symbols for the alphabet, the Hebrew alphabet, we've seen that there's meaning in each one of these symbols. And so the pay represents the mouth. So when we speak, when we eat, whatever we do with our mouth, we should do it to the glory of God. And so we'll be dealing with the pay. The sadi, I'll just mention the sadi and the quaff also on the back of this page, in page 8. The sadi is usually considered, it's kind of like a figure lifting his hands up and on his knees. But it's described as a hook or a catch, the sadi. And then the quaff is really kind of a picture of the back of the head. So the quaff of your head behind the head. And so that's a picture that the quaff kind of tries to demonstrate. So we'll leave it at that for those three. Well, I'm going to go back. I think I'm going to go back and change my approach. I'm going to read through in English the whole thing. And then we'll go through verse by verse and read it verse by verse from the Hebrew on these sheets that I gave you. And the Hebrew word that describes something in most all of these lines. So let me read. Hopefully you follow along in your Bible. You can see any differences that your translation may have from my NIV. And if there's anything significant you want to bring to our attention, by all means do it as we go through this. So let me read these eight verses of the Peg, starting at line 129. Verse 129 through 136. And there it says, "Your statutes," this again is directed towards the Lord, "your statutes are wonderful. Therefore, I obey them." And we've seen throughout this psalm, Psalm 119, the importance of obedience. And I think we all know that as being desiring to please the Lord, desiring to understand better what He desires of us. And so this starts with, "Your statutes are wonderful, therefore I obey them." So statutes here means his judgment, his word, his work, what He wants us to know. So they are wonderful. And so we should do everything we can, the best of our ability, to obey His statutes. Verse 130, "The unfolding of your words gives light." And so I hope you look at reading Scripture in that way. Let it unfold for you. Read it several times, a lot of things. So the unfolding of your words gives light. You know, we need to see it in the light. We need to understand the Word. And so the unfolding of the Word gives light. It gives understanding to the simple. And we would often think of the simple as those that are maybe not too complex in their thinking, but keep it simple. And that's sometimes hard to do when you're studying the original language. I think you've probably found that out with my attempt to teach you through this. It's not all that simple, but we need to continue to look at God's Word and help Him to simplify it for us. It gives understanding to the simple. Verse 131, "I open my mouth and pant, longing for your commands." When we run, we may pant. When we're really desiring to get somewhere, "Open my mouth and pant, longing for your commands." We want to hear. We want to understand God's desires and His desires for each one of us. 132. "Turn to me and have mercy on me, as you always do to those who love your name." So here the writer of the psalm is turning. We don't know who the writer is for sure, but the writer is asking the Lord to turn to him. "Turn to me and have mercy on me, as you always do to those who love your name." And we know the importance of the personal names of God. And I think God emphasizes those things. That's why He's promised what He's promised for Israel. Because He wants His name to be known. He wants everyone to know His name and where His promises are going and the importance of it. And so when you go back through all of Scripture, I'd encourage you sometimes to just read through the Scripture and say, how many times does God love what you take care of His name? Do not dishonor His name. To honor His name. So, "Turn to me and have mercy on me, as you always do to those who love your name." In verse 133, direct my footsteps according to your word. Let no sin rule over me. In other words, walk the path. Walk in his footsteps according to his word. And let no sin control you. Let no sin rule over me, over you. Verse 134, redeem me from the oppression of men, that I may obey your precepts. Don't let sinful man's ways control what you end up doing. Do it according to God's will. Redeem me from the oppression of men, that I may obey your precepts. That's what we should long to do, be in obedience to God. 135, make your face shine upon your servant and teach me your decrees, so that continue. And let the glory of the Lord shine upon your face. Now, we don't necessarily, can't visually see that at times, but just if you're loving the Word of God, seeking the Word of God in greater understanding, and when God shows you something, and whoa, I don't know how many times I've done that, you know, years of teaching, I never saw that before. And when you see something that's new, it's like this. Wow! I never saw it in that light before. So make your face shine upon your servant and teach me your decrees. Streams of tears flow from my eyes, for your law is not obeyed. So when we see disobedience around us, those who do not honor God, do not even recognize God, and particularly His Son Jesus Christ, it's sad and it's heartbreaking. And so we are to be witnesses and do it in love. And so I think that's important. So let me take my handout for the pay, and I'll try to just make this as simple and short as possible. You can see the Hebrew words that are represented in some of the phrases there. So verse 129, we recognize that there's a sense of a wonderful nature, and Pele is the word for that, our wonderful, Pele, P-E-L-E, and then it goes on and says, your testimonies therefore keeps them my soul. Now that doesn't, again, some of these things don't read real well in English, but you can kind of read between the lines and understand what it's saying and compare it to what the English says there. Verse 130, and it starts there with the entrance. The entrance, which the Hebrew word for entrance is pehach. And so the entrance of your word gives light, instructing to, and it actually should be to the simple. So the next line, I got that on the wrong line. Verse 130 should end to the simple, and that word on 131, pethei, the first word there, should be on line 130, the end of line 130. So a little problem with where that belongs. But then when we go on to 131, my mouth pay, again, because the pay pictures the mouth, my mouth pay, I opened. So when you open your mouth, what do you get? Pa'ar. I opened, so that's opening the mouth, and panted for your commands I longed. So the desire for knowing God's commands and pleasing God is our task to do. 132, it kind of starts with turn, and the word in Hebrew for turn is panay. P-A-N-A-H. So turn to and favor me. So look upon me, favor me, as is the manner to those who love your name. Again, that phrase, God wants us to honor and respect and love his name and give him the praise and the glory. So that's what that line is really saying. And then verse 133, my steps, which is payam, and then considering the steps, fix in your word. Again, that doesn't read too well in English. Fix in your word, so keep your eyes on the word. Fix in your word, the Lord's word, and not let do rule over me any evil. In other words, don't let evil penetrate into your thinking, into your life. Do not let it rule over you. And so it's hard to not look at the news and everything going on in the world and around us and not see evil. Evil is just, continues to, I think, accelerate. So that's for that. My steps fix in your word and do not rule over me any evil. Verse 134. It starts with redeem me, and that word in Hebrew is pedah. Redeem me from the oppression of man, and I will keep your precepts. So, asking the Lord to keep us from the oppression of man so that we can keep God's precepts, his word, his orders. 135, your face, and your face is Panayim. Panayim is face, and your face make shine, in other words, make your face shine, on your servant and teach me your statutes. Teach me your word. Teach me what we need to know. So Panayim is the word there for your face. And verse 136, the final verse of the pay, is rivers of, and the rivers is Peleg, and rivers of water run down my eyes because not do they keep your law. They do not keep your law. In other words, it kind of turns the words around a little bit in the Hebrew translation. So, rivers of water run down my eyes. Now, is that a sign of crying? Or is it something else that's causing your eyes to water? And I guess we can make it with what we think is needed to know there. So anyway, that's the pay. So turning over to the back of the page, the Sadi. And as I mentioned, the Sadi is like, kind of on your knees with your hands extended upward is the symbol. And it can mean a hook, like to catch something with a hook, or just catch in any other way. So let me read the Sadi from the English. Righteous are you, O Lord Yahweh, and your laws are right. That's just giving honor to the Lord that His word is what we need to follow. His word is what is right. The statutes you have laid down are righteous. They are fully trustworthy. My zeal, your desires, wears me out, for my enemies ignore your words. Your promises have been thoroughly tested, and your servant loves them. Though I am lowly and despised, I do not forget your precepts. That's important. Your righteousness is everlasting, never ending. And your law is true. What truth do we have? If we really are seeking the truth, we need to know God's law, God's way. It's true. Trouble and distress have come upon me, but your commands are my delight. Your statutes are forever right. Give me understanding that I may live. In other words, recognize what God desires for our lives and in our lives, and then do accordingly. And And so I believe that's what that is saying. And of course, as we go through it line by line in the Hebrew, it starts with righteous on the line 137, verse 137. And that's Sadiq, I don't know if I can pronounce it, Sadiq, something like that. In other words, that word, righteous is that word in Hebrew. Righteous you are, O Jehovah, O Lord God, and are right your judgments. So what we're doing is proclaiming that God is righteous and his judgments are righteous, are right. Verse 138, it starts with enjoin. Enjoin means to bond together. Tesava. Tesava is the Hebrew word. You have righteousness of testimonies and truth exceedingly. In other words, knowing that from God comes our righteousness and truth, and we have that available to us when we follow God's ways. 139 starts with, has eaten me up, the phrase, and that's Samoth. Samoth is the Hebrew word for has eaten me up. My zeal have forgotten your word. Again, that doesn't read exactly too clearly when you translate it back into English, but that's what it means. My zeal have, well, we've forgotten your word. So we need to always remember God's word. Psalm 140, or verse 140, it's my enemies. The phrase for my enemies is Zar. It's a Zar. And Zar is pure. And that Zaroth is the word for pure. Your word very, and your servant loves it. So very, very important, very real, very right, and your servant loves it. Verse 141, small. It starts with small, which is Saror, I am, and despised your precepts not, I do forget. So it's just, again, it reads a little awkward with the Hebrew translation, but we get the gist of it. 142, your righteousness, Sadiq, is righteousness forever, and your law is truth. Again, that's just acknowledging the fact that God has given us his word, his righteousness, his law, and it is the truth to follow. And if we would just do it, things would be a lot better, I think, in the world today. But we don't. We have the enemy battling us. 143, distress is the word there, and that's Zar, Zar, and anguish have found me. Your commands are my delight, and that should be our delight, his commands. Verse 144, the righteousness of Tzedek, the righteousness, and that's what it means, the righteousness of. Your testimonies is everlasting. Make me understand, and I will live. So that should be a goal, should be what we really strive for, to follow God's way, his righteousness, and give testimonies that can be everlasting and help us to understand, and we will live a better life according to God's word. All right, let's go on with the coif. And the coif, again, as I said, is kind of a depiction, if you want to look at this, as behind the head. So the back of your head, that part behind the head, the coif. And there, let me read in English, first of all. what this is talking about? I call with all my heart, answer me, O Lord Yahweh, and I will obey your decrees. I call out to you, save me, and I will keep your statutes. I rise before dawn and cry for help. I have put my hope in your word. My eyes stay open through the watches of the night, that I may meditate on your promises. Hear my voice in accordance with your love. Preserve my life, O Lord Yahweh, according to your laws. Those who devise wicked schemes are near, but they are far from your law. Yet you are near, O Lord Yahweh, and all your commands are true. Long ago I learned from your statutes, your rules, your laws, that you establish them to last forever. What God has written, what God has told us, with rules, with commandments, everything we need to adhere to forever and do our very best. And we know we're not perfect, but we need to keep striving to please the Lord. So now the quaff words. Here in 145, I cried, Kara, as I cried with my whole heart, with my whole heart. Answer me, O Jehovah, Yahweh, your statutes I will keep. And so that's making a commitment to the Lord. Most likely any commitment we're going to probably break, but we shouldn't do it purposefully. We should do it, because we're just flawed individuals. But we should be striving to keep his statutes, keep his rules, keep his law, keep everything that he's given us in order. 146, I cried to you, Kara. Again, the same word, Kara. Save me, and I will keep your testimony. And then verse 147, I go before, and I go before is Kodam, the dawning of the day, and cry. In your word I hope. So sometimes maybe when things are difficult and we're struggling, maybe the best thing we can do is let out. Let the feelings out and let the Lord know dawning of the day and cry. In your word I hope, and put our hope and trust in God's word. 148, go before. And again, that's the same word as 147, Kodam. Go before. My eyes, the night watches, so if you're watchman at night, the night watches to meditate in your word. So while I'm watching, keeping night watch, I meditate on his word. Verse 149. My voice, qual, it's Hebrew, and my voice, hear by your mercy. Calling upon God, Yahweh, O Jehovah, calling on him to give us mercy by your mercy, and by your judgment, give me life. We all know that we're totally dependent upon God to maintain our life. When the time is up, the time is up. And God will take us. But we need to be recognizing that we need him to continue our life here on earth. My voice, I guess that's the one I read, 149, 150. Draw near, Korab. And means draw near. The pursuers of mischief, so those doing bad things, the pursuers of mischief from your law, not being obedient to the Lord, they are far. In other words, they're way out of whack. They're way out in left field. And so draw near. Draw near is the command there. 151 is near. To is interesting, just the near part of it, Korob. You are, O Jehovah, Yahweh, and all your commands are truth. That's just reemphasizing that we know that God's word is truth. What he requires and desires is what we should be seeking, and seeking the truth that's in his word. 152, of old, and of old in Hebrew is quidem, I have known from your testimonies forever you have founded them. And that wraps up those three. I'm gonna stop there because we have three more left. We'll be able to finish those next week. We'll have the Resh, the She'in, and the Tahav. And those are the last three Hebrew characters. But I want to share something with you, which I so appreciate. Doug and Sharon, who've been coming here, passed on to me something that they've come across. And the one thing, I'm going to wait till Raymond gets back, and I'm going to have him do this. This is a DVD that's like 2 hours long, okay? Jim and I have watched it together, and I've watched it separately myself. So I've watched it two times. I think this is, to me, from my journey where I've come from and what I believe God is seeking from us and desiring us to understand his word, I believe this is one of the most important things. And the statistics you'll find in this video, that only 30% of even church people, church believers, supposedly believers, believe that Israel's role, believe in Israel's true role. 70% do not. And so this is a video that's titled, Israel is Not Replaced. God has not replaced Israel with the church. The church is a unique entity. The church is an entity that is connected with Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Jesus is died for us. Now, the church has said because Israel has not accepted Jesus as their Messiah, and that's true, by and large, but they're going to, not every one of them, but there's going to be them coming to Jesus' moment, be at the end of the tribulation period, if we read all the scripture. And so this is very important. So I put this up on the board here. This is this gentleman's website that you could go out on your own and kind of look at some of his teachings if you choose to. His name is Sharam Hadian. He's he's from
Iran.
I don't know why I can't think of that. Iran. He was born in Iran as a young child. That was before the Muslims took over Iran back in the late 70s or whatever it was. And they escaped out of that. He was a Muslim himself, but he has converted to total Christianity. And I've watched this video, like I say, with Jim and I, watched it, and then I watched it separately, and I'm going to watch it again. I did not find one thing that I would say was I don't agree with. It's just right on with everything. And so the whole topic of replacement theology is a big thing to me, because it's probably the number one reason why I left the church where I was. And when our church said that Israel has no role in God's plan, they must come into the church, that you can only be saved by coming to the church, and that's true, because it's trusting in Jesus Christ is what saves us. But they don't read all of Scripture. They don't read from all the way back in Genesis to Deuteronomy, and then elsewhere in the New Testament and so forth. So I just found this very enlightening. I'm going to ask Raymond. We'll see what he says. But I would like our church to do a... We've done these in the past, inviting people, inviting whoever. Advertise it. I don't know how we advertise it. The newspaper isn't probably the best way to advertise, so we might just have to do it by word of mouth and flyers. But that's my desire, and I'll talk to Raymond about it. But I want all of you to be able to hear this and grow in your understanding of Israel. Israel is not replaced. Understanding God's heart and His promises. And they also gave me some sheets that they got in a handout to him. And I just want to share what this says. What this says in Hebrew. This is the Hebrew. And I had to translate it as best I could. So this is how I would translate it. And I think it's really, really neat. The first part of this is Yeshua. Yeshua, which is Jesus in Hebrew. Yeshua, and then it's followed by Mashiach. And I'm sure some of you have heard that term. What's Mashiach mean? Messiah. He's the Messiah. Jesus is the Messiah. Jesus, Messiah. And then it's followed by a word that's Melech. Melech in Hebrew means king. He's king. So Yeshua, Mashiach, is king, and then it finishes at the end with Israel. He will rule as God. And so Jesus, our Savior and Lord, will rule and reign from Jerusalem over Israel and over the whole world. So I just thought it was pretty neat. I really... taken by it. I appreciate them sharing that with me, and we'll try to include anybody that wants to be involved in seeing that. You know, I could try to do it on Sunday morning, but you'd have to break it up. I don't think that would be best, and I really want to open it up to the community. You know, because we're a heavily Catholic Lutheran community, and by and large, the Catholic and Lutheran churches and other churches do not believe they basically teach, and I had to learn this the hard way, replacement theology. And so that the church has replaced Israel in God's plan. It isn't that there's a dual plan, that God still is dealing with Israel. We can see they come back in their land. That was promised by God, and that will be continued on. So anyway, I'm going to stop there. We're over time, but I wanted to make you aware of that, and we'll see where this goes. I hope Raymond's willing to do something as a church to invite people in. We've had other times where we've had videos that have been shown to people in the community that want to come and see. So anyway, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for this time. We thank you for your word, all of your word. Help us to continue to grow in our understanding of your word. And if we have a desire to want to learn the original word from the Hebrew language or even Greek language in the New Testament, Lord, we just ask for those that maybe want the original languages to know a little bit more. So we thank you for the opportunity to share a broadening of our understanding of your word. And so we just ask you to continue to help us to grow in our faith and knowledge of what you have for us to see and to grow and to come to a realization of your truth. Lord, we thank you now for not only this time we've had in study, but we thank you now for a time of worship, and we pray for each part of our worship service that you will bless it, that you will cover us with your love and care, and that people who come into this place will feel a sense of belonging and being here, and I just pray for each part of our worship service. I pray for the fellowship that we can have together in this place. I pray for the prayers that will be lifted up. I pray for any prayers that will be recognized as being fulfilled. And those that have prayed and received answers, it's always exciting to hear answered prayer. And so, Lord, I pray for that, and I pray for the music that we're going to sing. I thank you for the music that Charmaine has selected, and I thank you for her continuing to do that, and that we can enjoy the music that we can sing together. But we also thank you for the word that will be shared, the communion time that we have together, and we pray also for Don's message this morning. We pray that he will share things with us that maybe will help us, to guide us in our weekly journey as we leave this place and go back out into the world and deal with the things of this world as well. So thank you, Lord, for all that you do and who you are. And we thank you particularly for Jesus as he gave up his own life to save our lives. And so we thank you for that. And we thank you for the Holy Spirit who you've sent to help guide us and teach us and guide us along the way. I pray for all these things and blessings on each person here and those who may be listening in. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.